Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon, dungeon, dun, dungeon,
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 dungeon, dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court.
Dun, dun,
dun. Dun, dun. I am Supreme Crit Justice Murphy, joined by Supreme Crit Justice Axford, Supreme Crit Justice Tanner.
Thank you.
And new Supreme Crit Justice. Please welcome our guest, Abria Iyengar.
You actually, Justice Murphy, you jumped the gun a little bit.
Oh,
Abria is not technically a justice.
Please,
Bailiff, have you been introduced?
I need no introduction.
I am your stalwart
bailiff here to keep the decorum of this court.
Oh my God. Yes, Abria's not taking the oath yet.
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't sure there was like a Senate hearing. Like, you know.
There is, just 4.5 messy weeks.
Yes.
So we have sent you the oath, if you could please read it.
I, Abria Iyengar, do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the players, as well as the DMs, against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation of my own volition, and that I will well and faithfully embark upon this noble pursuit of justice. So help me, gods.
Here, here. Here, here. Here, here.
We're doing it. And first black woman on the Supreme Court.
Now.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Yes.
Now crit is in session. The Honorable Supreme
Bailiff,
Crit.
Bailiff, please wait one moment.
Excuse me, Justice.
This is contentious.
This is my courtroom until I introduce you.
I have a new tradition I would like to enter in to our floor, into our record. Since we have a guest here, I would like to give them the gavel.
Oh my God.
Okay. Normally, I'm the gavel master, but I think that... You know what? We should spread the love of the gavel. We should allow you to step into the light and just bang the shit out of that thing.
You're going to take this away from me very quickly.
So
I will
ordered.
Be chaotic with it. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Could you please signal for the bailiff to continue?
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah!
Okay.
So
now,
good.
Now finally, with everyone's permission, Crit is in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, Tanner, and Iyengar.
Oh. Feels good.
Feels good. Feels right.
Everything you've worked for, right?
I came up as a lowly public defender, and it's just so great to be here now. Mm-hmm. Finally. Mm-hmm.
You clerked.
I did.
Here you are.
That's true. We should shout out our dungeon clerks.
They'll get their moment.
Yeah.
Okay, our first case comes from Stephanie K. Stephanie writes, "May it please the court and the most excellent bailiff, Jake." Wow, there's a reason I chose this one first.
Excellent.
I went through them, and I really wanted to pick all the ones that were mean to you.
Yeah. I usually zero in for those.
This person already loses a tiebreaker. Go on.
A few sessions ago, we planted a magic bean that grew into a nest of 7 magic eggs. Basically,
a
someone who eats an egg.
I love it.
Yeah.
A bean into an
Very
egg.
Very primordial.
A nest of 7 eggs, yeah. So basically, someone who eats an egg has to make a DC 20 con save. If they make it, they get a bump to their lowest stat. If they don't, they take 10d6 force damage from an internal magical explosion.
Okay. Wow.
Okay.
With some mayonnaise from the alchemy jug and some spices from Hayward's handy spice pouch, my PC naturally turned these magic eggs into magic deviled eggs.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I thought egg salad, but maybe that's...
Still, the egg salad the... agenda from you, Justice Ashford.
The problem is our DM has so far not allowed me to try and force an enemy to eat an egg in combat, saying basically... that I couldn't force someone to swallow an egg in a single round. Honorable justices, do the 5e combat mechanics permit my PC to force feed magical deviled eggs to my enemies on my turn? I await your ruling.
Yeah, I would say got to be a grapple. It's almost kind of like, I don't know, I feel like it's like pinning an opponent or something. Like you have to grapple.
Would you
win multiple? You would have to shove it in their mouth, but then also massage it down.
Massaging it down.
That's the problem.
The throat.
Right.
Yeah. But that's your movement. To get them to swallow it.
Yeah. Like when a dog takes a pill.
Your movement is the stroke of the neck. And your reaction is, oh my God, what am I doing?
What if you held your action and waited until they like opened their mouth real big, like they were shouting at somebody, or like you chose your moment well? And
that
like
works
a
for a monster, but okay, just a dude.
Just a dude
would be really hard to just egg straight down the throat.
I think this depends on what your potion rules are. Like drinking a potion, if you count it as a bonus action, then I think you can get the grapple off as an action. Bonus action, do the massage the neck and get them.
With an entire turn, if all you're trying to do is make someone eat a deviled egg,
because
you
have
to let them try.
I think if you literally on your turn cast command and said eat, because command is a really simple first level spell, and if they fail that wisdom save, they're just going to take that deviled egg and eat it in one turn.
But I think they're not. They want to like just like toss it down their mouth or just like put it.
Have you considered like hucking it up their butthole so hard that it goes into their stomach?
As long as it's inside their body, I think it
can. Right?
Yeah.
Like you want an egg chug. Okay. Yes. Of entering the body.
I fear that a deviled egg doesn't have the structural integrity
to get through a butt.
The flimsy egg defense.
It would crack in the cheeks. It would crack in the cheeks.
But you have to keep in mind that a deviled egg is only half an egg.
That's true.
So that's...
Oh, that's true. So it's easier to go down.
I think this one's great because you can fully test it in real life. Like you could get in a scuffle with your friend and shove an egg in their mouth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it would be easier for if any of you guys had a sword right now and tried to hit me with the sword, that'd be a lot easier than getting me to swallow an egg.
But maybe that's just a matter of DM, not action. Like a DC, not action economy.
But I'm just saying because obviously there's no mechanics for shoving an egg down someone's mouth.
Right.
So we have to think about it in like, if you would normally use your action to like attack, right?
Right.
So it'd be like, to kill someone in D&D, it's like you keep hitting them with their sword until they're dead. Mm-hmm. To feed an egg to them, you have to like essentially defeat them already.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to easily eat an egg.
Okay, you don't have to force me to eat a deviled egg. If that thing's properly spiced.
In combat, I'm saying you're in a fight.
Yeah.
Someone has gone after Jill's honor at a bar.
Tucker. And then if it's Tucker, I stand down.
Yeah, of course, you yield. You've yielded instantly.
I yield.
You yield, but he's attacked you. He attacks you even after you yield.
Right. Yes. I yield because Jill loves a pacifist, don't you, babe? Babe, I eat the egg. Honey.
But like in the middle of a fight, if someone presented you with a deviled egg, would you... eat it.
Is this like a false truth sort of thing? It's like, you know what? We've been getting really heated. I think we got off on the wrong foot. Here, an egg of friendship.
But you have to circle your arms together and feed each other the egg. It's gotta be really romantic.
Yeah. So you need one egg you need a clean deviled egg and then an angel egg and a devil egg.
Yeah.
Well, this is perfect because a deviled egg is half of an egg. So the assumption is that there's always an angeled egg to go with the deviled egg.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Oh. Yeah.
The other half of the egg is for God, of course. That's
You leave it at the pedestal.
It's like Santa, but with God.
Right. You're leaving a half an egg for Jesus. Yeah.
Now I understand Easter way better.
Yeah.
Actually.
Oh, this is crazy. Yeah.
After all this, I think that if I just think logically, could you shove an egg down someone's throat in one turn of battle? Think about what an average person could do in one turn of battle. You could attack twice.
Yeah.
You could also have a bonus action. also action, sir. Like there, I mean, there's so many ways. But, there's so much that people are doing.
But if you're attack, if we're dueling with swords, you're still like 3 feet away, stabbing into me. Mm-hmm. For me to shove an egg in your mouth and make you eat it,
I think
is like
has to be.
Me, I have to be already beat you in a wrestling match and then also massage your throat.
Well, do you have to swallow the entire egg? Because usually magical effects are like, if you just get a little bit in your body, it hits. Mm-hmm. So I think if I just sort of wanged an egg toward you in your mouth, I think you're swallowing 2% of it no matter what.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
I really feel like surprise plays a big element here. Because like, if I don't know what's happening and all of a sudden the egg's in my mouth.
Especially because if you're going to say, what? That might be a swallowing.
Oh, is that an egg?
I have a suggestion. Yeah. A compromise could be that you can shove it in their mouth, but they won't swallow until their turn.
Right. And you have to have properly spiced this egg.
Yeah.
There's going to be some parsley, some chives.
You got to roll for paprika. Both.
This egg does have a benefit, potentially. If they pass that 20 con save.
Yeah, you're right. The DM should be allowing this just because it's such a wild card.
So wait, we've talked about the religious logistics of eggs for so long. I've forgotten. What was the result of this? Like, did they say what the DM allowed?
They just said the DM wouldn't let it happen.
The problem is that the DM will not allow force.
So I'm of two minds here. I think this player...
Two sides of an egg.
Right. Two sides of an egg. Yeah. The angel egg and the devil egg.
Yes.
The, you must find the yolk.
The devil egg is telling me that this player is trying to do some cartoon stuff and throw an egg into somebody's mouth from like across the battlefield.
Buddy, don't
I
know
what
it.
I think if the real question is. But now the angel egg, the other mind, I think that it should be possible via like two grapple checks. Like one to be like,
okay,
you grab the person, you've got them, you're throwing them on the ground. Second athletics check to like, you've beaten them at wrestling. Now you can shove them in. Shove the egg in their mouth.
This is the best offer you're ever going to get from Brian Murphy.
Yeah.
I do agree. I think that you can like wrestle in the mud with somebody and like make them eat dirt or something.
Especially knowing the stakes of this, I do like it being harder than just one ability check.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm officially going on the record to say that I'm on this player's side, but I don't trust them.
I like also if this person doesn't have two actions, I like Abria's idea of like, okay, it's an action to grapple and then a bonus action to massage. So you're still kind of making two checks, you know?
Yeah. I think as long as there's a grapple involved because again, it's not just hitting them.
Yes.
It's you've defeated them in some kind of hand to hand.
Yeah.
May I play deviled advocate?
deviled advocate.
Okay, you are
advocate. Yes. Absolutely. You said you didn't want it from across the room, but what if the player has the sharpshooter feet?
Fuck.
Ooh.
Oh, bring your feet in.
I think if you're using a feet to make them eat.
You can use a feet to make them eat.
You can use a feet to make them eat.
Take the feet, and then they must eat.
If you take the feet, they must eat.
Just fucking Gambit style, flicking that egg into the mouth.
I kind of love it when people though like it's like sometimes there's players who like focus on one thing, but then they like really commit to it and get really good at it. So this person just like taking all the feats to buff themselves to just sling poison eggs every single battle.
Oh no, the egg slinger, they're here.
Yeah, if you maximize your player just to do this. If you build your player just
although it
to
is a
sling
lot
eggs.
Of damage, but it's not guaranteed damage.
No, they always, do they always have pass. Infinite eggs? It seemed like the seeds
seven
hatched
eggs.
Some eggs.
Seven
eggs. Okay.
Oh, yeah, seven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Seven eggs. So
and you might lose it. You might lose an egg even if you have a feat.
And you're
even if you try to make
and your enemies might get a boost.
So. Yeah.
That's true.
Okay.
So with that, we must punish.
I think we're on the player. Is anyone on the DM side? I think we're on the player's side with conditions.
Fully.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We're conditionally on the player's side. We think that the DM is probably thinking like, what are you talking about? I don't have time to deal with
it. Yeah. Not every bad guy in my campaign is a cartoon alligator. Please stop.
Only
stop whatever
one
you're doing.
Is.
Attack with your sword. Mm-hmm. I can picture
really
myself
true.
Being like, please just attack.
Wait a second though. That is really true. If there is a bad guy that has like that is bigger.
Yeah, like a purple worm. Mm-hmm. Purple worm, you can chuck that egg down there.
Yeah. Yeah. It depends on the gullet size.
Yeah.
Absolutely depends on the gullet size. Depends on if you have a feet.
As someone who pitched for travel softball one year when I was a kid.
Wow.
Have I dropped that on you guys?
You actually have not.
Travel? Where'd you go?
The travel team.
Travel team.
I don't know. Yeah. It was just called travel team.
I assume you went over.
I don't know.
You just went around New York. I'm sure.
You played in Taiwan for a year and a half.
Yeah, they made a baseball card of me and everything.
Yeah. You had a visa and everything.
Emily is fucking really famous abroad.
Emma, you're rookie of the year. That's based on you.
my entire point was to say I think I could have pitched an egg down.
Oh, purple worm, yeah.
I want this to be the new thing at halftime. It's like, as opposed to like trying to make a basket from half court, you just try and like sling an egg into someone's mouth.
Can a softball player get an egg in a worm's mouth?
Mr. Metz there, just hearing you on.
So we have to punish the DM.
Yes, yeah, that is the what DM we do must with be punished.
Yes, mm-hmm. Maybe they have to pitch the first.
Oh, you have to jump onto the field at a baseball game and very good. Throw
try to catch
an
a ball
egg
in your mouth
at yes. the biggest, angriest baseball player you can find. Wow. And then just hold your hands up and say, if you have a feet, you can eat. Or they can eat. Whatever the rhyme was.
Yeah. And just fucking take the charge.
And you can't explain yourself, and you just have to take.
Folks, it looks like the egg slinger is on the field again. Oh, no.
Third time this week, we worry about his personal life.
Okay. So ordered. Our next case comes from Kyle M., who writes, may it please the Honorable Justices Axford, Tanner, and Murphy, and just no mention of me.
That's good. That one hurts the most, actually. That's good.
But they didn't say anything about Abria either, so.
I didn't take it personally. It's about how you choose to perceive things. Wow.
You're right. I'm going to rise above.
She's confident and strong, whereas you are.
I know. I have to.
My friends and I were playing a campaign which we traveled through a magical door to a different dimension each session in search of treasure, kind of like Roulette Narnia. Whoa. I'm playing an artificer and another player is a paladin. Yes. We wound up in a field with a large glowing green rock and a ton of large bee creatures around it. My character wants the rock and needs the rock.
Does that ever get explained?
Of course. Nope. We've all been there.
Wants the rock and needs the rock. So right. I pass a few stealth checks and am able to grab the rock.
Yeah.
But on my way back to the group, I roll poorly and end up being seen. This encounter lasts about 2 minutes of these bee creatures chasing us to the forest and surrounding us as we're surrounded by a bolt of lightning comes from the sky. Where it strikes stands the god which the paladin worships.
Oh.
The paladin pleads for his god to save us. The god then tells us he wants the rock. But you want the rock and you need the rock. I want the rock and I need the rock. So I tell this to the god. The DM then tells me the god stomps on me and I am dead.
What?
No roll to save or anything, just instant death. The paladin thanks his god for ridding the world of a non-believer. And everyone goes on their merry way. This was my favorite character I've ever made.
I think there's no heroes in this story, but go on.
There's two more great. This is a great one.
I love this person, whether or not I agree with them.
Yes, that's how I feel too. Yeah.
These next three phrases are just so funny.
I'm so excited.
This was my favorite character I've ever made, and it was also the first session.
Whoa! Okay.
Keep in mind, this whole thing was in front of my girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
Was I wrong to refuse the god? Was I wrongly killed with no way of getting out? The DM told me afterwards there was no way of us winning the bee encounter, and that was the only way to let some of the characters live.
Wow.
Okay, so it was a you have to run away encounter.
Okay.
So I'm assuming it sounds kind of like the rock was a trap.
I love this person. I love their energy. There might be a little clue in here in the fact that the paladin thanked their god for.
Well, here's I was on the paladin side until they said non-believers. So I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Oh, did they say that?
They said thank you for ridding the world of a non-believer.
I mean, okay, never mind.
Who among us hasn't coveted a rock?
Yes. I love that to whoever wrote in that you did not tell us why you wanted or needed the rock.
I really enjoyed the
repetition of keep in mind, I want the rock.
Yeah.
Why did the god want the rock?
I mean, yo, I played an artificer. Your guys want rocks.
Yeah.
Those guys need rocks.
I love stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm, pl-
playing a mechanized, like, I'm a hoarder. That's yeah. what an artificer is.
That's what yeah. it is.
You presented because, me with a thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I can turn this into other things.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Fuck. This
does
hard.
It does kind of seem to me though, it's like, I don't know, something that would be in like a fable or something. It'd be like, there's a magic rock on top of the mountain, mm-hmm. and the gods tell you not to touch it, and the dude touches it anyway, right. and then he like has yeah. to roll a boulder forever or something yeah. like that.
In front totally. Of his girlfriend.
I yeah. think even gods should probably have to roll, though, to stomp on someone.
100%.
Yeah. Right?
You know, this exact thing happened in campaign one with Beverly.
This is mm-hmm. true.
And what I would say is just do like 70 damage to them instead of flat out killing them. Right. You know what I mean?
Well, chuck it was them the first the tower. Session. Yeah. So they might have had like...
Yeah.
Insta death doesn't teach a lesson. I think it creates a grudge.
Yes.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you give them the opportunity to become a fable for the world.
Yeah.
Like, this god is like, if you don't give back the rock, children will learn via the story of me killing you
yeah.
that you don't touch the rock.
Right.
Yeah. Do you proceed with this? Okay.
Yeah, it would have just been...
And then you give them a dex save to get out of the way of the god stomping on
right. them. Yeah, exactly. Just like putting a curse on them or something. I get where... There's stories sometimes that get submitted where I'm like, I feel the DM sweating. And yeah, this is sure. one of them. Yeah. Where they're like, cool, it's the first setting. I've thrown a god out there. And this person is just standing there flipping off the god. And they're like, shit, there need to be consequences right yes. now.
Can I say yeah. one thing? This is a wild move on the DM of, for the very first session, setting up an encounter they can't win.
Yeah. And yeah. then a god has to swoop in and save them? That is crazy.
That's yeah. wild. That's,
everything went wrong at this table.
Everything went yeah. wrong at this table.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would say they kind of buried the lead with that. You're right. That does affect things.
Yeah.
Because, starting doing your first session being like, this god comes in and saves you? That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You should just fight some rats or something.
Yeah, fight some rats. Everyone gets used to their mechanics.
Yeah, it's a big win.
I feel like the god should show up and tell the paladin, like, make him give it back.
Yeah.
Start off with PvP and make yeah. it weird.
Oh, immediately. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, PvP, that's then the true. God chooses a side.
Yeah. Full Odyssey, let's go.
Okay, so does this mean that after all this, we are going to punish the DM? Because we're kind of like thinking, oh, maybe this is tough. I think that the point that I come to is that the player should have been able to roll a dex save to get out of the stomp.
Agreed. I think there should have been an attack roll. Literally, I don't know, I feel like there should have been more of the DM kind of foreshadowing what was going to happen. It does sound like they were maybe arguing about the rock for a yeah, while, so right. maybe the DM yeah. did do that.
Uh-huh. This yeah. almost reads to me as like the DM is like, you know what, we're not playing anymore. Your character
yeah,
is dead.
You've been stomped on. You should like, at least do even... a roll. It should be like, you. The god said, I want this. The god's standing in front of you. You say no. You see they rear back their mighty fist yeah. full of lightning.
What
still
do you
don't do?
Do
the thing.
Yeah.
Cool. They roll a 5. That's a 32. They hit you for 95 damage and you're dead. Like
yeah.
that's different than just being like they stomp you and you're dead.
Yeah. Right.
And then the paladin thanks the god.
And then the paladin yeah. thanks the god.
That's horrifying.
Yeah. I think that your actions definitely deserved to be punished, but not instantly.
You should have been killed with dice rolls.
Right.
I think you should still.
You should have been killed in a way
that you
understood.
Your character should be dead. Yeah. yeah.
And that's, I feel like if you die in that way where it does come down to the dice, that's a funny way for the first session to go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. sure. And then you live on, like Abrea said, you are the fable.
Yeah, if I lost the character round one, first day, but then came back as a new character that like was like, yeah, I grew up hearing stories. Yeah. Just this idiot that grabbed a rock.
Your new character comes out from under the god rock. Hatches from it, in fact. Whoa, what happened to that guy?
Yeah.
It's great.
But I think we are siding with the player.
I think
sort of
so.
Based purely on the fact that this DM on the first session started an encounter by having an unwinnable encounter and then had a god come out to save everyone.
I'll admit to having bias because I want the rock. I need the rock.
Yeah.
It was just... Really
I like your writing style.
Yeah. I liked your presentational style.
No, it's a spin a yarn.
Yeah. yeah. Listen, we've all walked into a K jeweler's and said exactly this phrase.
Yeah.
Want the rock?
Yeah. That's actually what Jill said when I proposed to her. the first three times when she said no.
But she was looking over your shoulder at Tucker.
Yeah. Want the rock. Right.
We need the rock. So we need to sentence rock. This DM, right?
Okay.
I feel bad a little bit.
I want it to be a light sentence.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do a light sentence. Maybe a slap on the wrist with a slap bracelet.
That's
the new slap on the wrist. Right. That's slap on the wrist with a slap bracelet.
But then the slap bracelet says, like, hey, think it through next
time. It said you only did okay. Hey, think it through last time. You only did okay.
Make sure to give him a roll.
Give him a roll.
Use your dice, dumb dumb.
That's a really long slap. Let's try to remember.
It's actually just like
hey, think about it next time. You only did okay.
He needed the rock.
He needed the rock.
I want the rock. I need the rock.
And then the last thing says Murfreesboro Climbing Gym, because that's where it's from.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then maybe also, like, P.S., keep that paladin and his talk about non-believers in check, maybe.
Yeah, that's going to be a thing later.
That was clearly supposed to be like a moment for the paladin to be like, is this what my god is all about? I'm questioning everything. But nope, they just stood by their dude's side.
Well, it's kind of fair though for the god to be like, oh, that rock doesn't belong to you.
Yeah.
It belongs to me.
Well, it's also session one, so presumably the players aren't even friends.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
And also it was all in front of their girlfriend.
Yeah.
Was she playing, by the way?
She was the DM.
Oh.
Really?
Oh.
That would be amazing.
She was just sitting at the table.
I did this in front of my girlfriend, the DM who stomped on me.
Okay, so ordered. Our next case comes from someone named Jake MDM. Wow. They write, may it please the court. My DM is running our party through a volcanic high mountain plateau inhabited by dinosaurs.
Sick.
Cool. I can't wait to have a dinosaur in D&D.
And in real life.
To meet one. Meet one. I don't need to have it. Meet it.
And I don't
need to limit yourself. You can have one.
We don't mean dragons.
I need it.
We don't mean dragons, Murph.
You mean an actual
dinosaur. We need a Diplodocus.
Ooh. Is that how you say that? I've been saying it wrong.
How do you say it?
I don't know.
I think you're probably.
I want to hear.
Oh, it's like Diplo Duck, and then I just trail off.
No, you're thinking of the duck that plays Diplo music.
I am thinking of that, actually.
That's a great Vegas show.
He's great. He's playing Coachella next year.
Wow. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Our party is one human and two halflings. Our ranger.
Coachella, sorry.
Yeah. Where was I? Sorry. Coachella.
Let him read.
Our ranger, not a beastmaster ranger, mind you, made a deal with the DM a few sessions ago that with sufficient deer meat in her inventory, she could make animal handling checks to tame a dinosaur as a temporary companion.
I love this.
Yeah, we thought it would be fun to bend the rules a bit to enjoy the prehistoric setting.
That's great.
Cool.
So far, so good. Mm-hmm. This deal quickly became a whomping of me, the human fighter, when she used her deer meat to befriend a pterodactyl, a creature large enough to carry the two halfling PCs into the air during combat, leaving me alone on the ground. The other halfling is a paladin with higher AC than me. The halflings claim they're giving me air support, but I'm still taking all the hits from the various tyrannosaurus and raptors we fight. My DM has been all too happy to say
you're
that the enemies...
You're a genius bar in the sky.
My DM has been all too happy to say that the enemies would target the only person on the ground, me and...
Yeah. This is on your party, not on the DM.
That is absolutely
combats
sensible.
Have been absolutely brutal for my PC. Am I getting screwed over here? I'm worried my PC is going for this world thing.
Wait, this is so fun. I don't know if we've had to sentence an entire party before.
Yes. Yeah. We've had little tattletales. Yeah.
I also don't have a very good memory.
You've been screwed over by your party.
100%.
I think so. Although, you know, okay, let's expand our creativity or expand our imagination to think that maybe it is because they respect you so much and they know you can take it.
They can't take it though. Yeah, Jake has sent us an email.
Don't worry, Jake. You're the man. You can handle it.
I really want to hear more about this air support that the pterodactyl
from a paladin. What is the paladin doing? You can't even smite.
We're not offering air support if you're getting whomped every time.
Yeah, that's my question. Yeah. Like, what the shit is the paladin doing?
Yeah.
Also, yeah, what can you do ranged as a paladin?
Javelins?
Yeah.
Can you smite with a javelin?
No, you can't.
No?
No. We did it homebrew for a campaign once or twice, but not really. Yeah.
You gotta be up in that stuff.
Oh my god.
The paladin's gotta be up there. Also, if the pterodactyl can hold the two halflings, it can hold the one human, so why don't they trade off every once in a while?
Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's a really good point.
You should just be getting deer meat, because that's all it took the ranger. They don't even have the beast.
Oh, get your own. That's a good move.
But you don't want
to cheese this, right? And then have the DM regret giving you this fun loophole, although the loophole is working against you.
Yeah.
Is that a loop? I just don't know how many deer are around, right. But like you could probably get some meat. And then it kind of becomes like, I hate to do it, but it becomes an Airbud situation where everyone's trying to get the pterodactyl to come to them.
Try to befriend the pterodactyl.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
Take the pterodactyl out for a night.
Or murder it. Take it out.
Oh my gosh.
I meant to like kill
the head of the pterodactyl in the Rangers.
Yeah.
I meant to like Cold Stone. No. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no.
Then you have pterodactyl meat to intimidate.
To get a bigger, better dinosaur that can hold your ass.
Oh,
all right,
yeah.
I'm back on board.
I also think though it's like, okay, another argument like that they could be doing. Let's imagine like the air support is happening. Mm-hmm. Paladins do have buffs. I mean, one of their buffs is saving throws being near each other. But I mean, if they're flying in the sky, well, they buff the fuck out of you, concentration isn't getting broken, and you're so strong.
They shouldn't be a paladin.
They shouldn't be a paladin.
So cool. Also, they're not doing that because
I know.
They said
not.
Combat's been brutal.
Yeah, unless they're like casting haste and then like just flying around in the sky to keep concentration. Yeah. That is tenuous.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. We're describing like hypotheticals that would make it vaguely okay, and none of them are actually happening.
None of them are actually okay.
Yeah,
I'm guessing this other halfling that's in the party is probably like a wizard or something. So that kind of makes sense to keep them out of harm's way.
I like that strategy.
So that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that paladin needs to be up. I'm mostly against the paladin here, not just the other party.
This is a very anti-paladin court session.
That's true.
We hold them to they are lawful good and they need to act like
that's true.
This is
that's
some true. Lawful bullshit is what this is right here.
Murph has had to deal with some little stinker paladins before, so predisposed.
This is a little stinker and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Flying around. Okay, so Bev would not do this.
Should we just sentence the halfling paladin?
I think the DM must be punished as well.
Oh.
What's the DM doing?
All are punishing.
Jake MDM has said, the DM has been all too happy to say that the enemies would target the only person on the ground.
But that's logical.
Why wouldn't they?
But I'm
like, as a DM, if you're looking at this like, and you're playing like a bunch of dinosaurs who don't necessarily have intelligence, are you gonna be like, the dinosaurs look up in the sky and see you guys who are just zooting around? Or are you just gonna be like, well, my dinosaurs are just gonna attack what's right in front of them?
I feel like before I got my dog, I would be like, yeah, focus fire on the guy on the ground. Yeah. However, I have a coyote that looks like a husky in my house, and she will fully ignore my cat and try to bite a crow out of the sky like 40 feet over her head. So I think it's whatever's moving around the most.
Yeah.
So if they're doing a lot in the air, like, I think the dinosaur is going to look up and go like a dangling meat.
The dinosaur could be flashy too.
I'm also tall as shit and I only look up. So a big ass dinosaur should be looking up.
Well, DM needs to step in though here.
Yes,
like, 100%. I mean, the answer to every D&D court thing is that everyone should just talk.
Yes.
But then we wouldn't have a show.
Right.
Right.
Don't talk.
No, but here's
the thing.
What's happening right now would be like if in campaign one, it was like if Bev and Moonshine thought it was really funny to always send Hard One in by himself.
Yeah.
If I keep killing Hard One, that's not on me. Right. You guys need to go get a beer and hash it out. Like, why the hell are they bullying you?
But you would think, I know you, and I think you would be like, you would probably find some in-game solution to be like, what's happening?
Here? Right.
You would probably set up encounters that we would then send, like what the DM should do is set up like an airborne encounter.
Yeah, right. I think this DM is looking the other way and just being like, this is what would happen. Haha, this is funny.
Yeah. But I guess you're on the ground after all. On your fighter.
Yeah.
But it's negligence in every direction. Yeah, the DM is wrong, but also the rest of the party is not trying to prioritize everyone's fight.
Yeah.
Like, that's cute and cheeky once, maybe twice.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Two and a half times if you're stretching it to be like, maybe you die. All right.
Yeah.
I'll be a paladin.
It takes a lot of trust for it to work 2.5 times.
Hell, I blame the pterodactyl.
You know? You know what's a sick move that I might do to punish the players?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Is I might very tragically kill the fighter And just let him go out like Boromir, like just describe the coolest death and just be like, as you fly in the sky, neglecting your friend and watching as he bravely fights 10 dinosaurs on the ground by himself. One bite against his shoulder, brushes it off, pushes it back, swings his sword, takes one down as one slices at the back of his calf. He falls to one knee but continues to fight, wrestles with one as it goes after his neck. You could tell he could overpower three or four of these things, but there's six or seven and no friends nearby, just cowards in the sky. Oh, he curses your name as his throat is ripped out, but he dies a hero.
That's fucking metal.
Wow. That's rad.
The pterodactyl
cowards
squawks.
Cravens. Yeah.
Raven. The pterodactyl shrugs them off.
Yeah, you could just throw out little passive aggressive things. Be like, does your god do you like lose alignment or anything for like being cowardly?
Yeah.
Can you check the rule book? Just like be like, can you check real quick? Are
but do you think that the PC can do that? That I think only the DM can do that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm saying,
so then do we just make a sentence to be a jerk. This DM? Yeah.
I think it's everyone except for the player needs to be punished.
Okay.
Including the pterodactyl, yeah.
Including
Okay. What if they went to like a really bad dinner?
They have to eat deer meat they've been feeding the pterodactyl.
Yes.
Oh my god.
And it can't be like nice venison.
And for the one player, dinosaurs are real, you get one.
Whoa. Yeah.
Whoa.
We'll give you a little dinosaur,
That's awesome. A little like
that's just
like
a treat from us, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just like a tiny little dinosaur you can keep in your hand.
Yeah.
Like a little dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
Like a stressed dinosaur.
Like how you squeeze, he goes,
Okay. All right. So where did I suppose?
So the cowards have to have a crappy little dinner.
Yeah. A little coward dinner.
Of deer meat.
Like just deer meat?
Uncooked.
Oh, okay.
They should get a little sick.
Maybe like
deer tartare.
Ooh, yeah.
Deer tartare. I was going to say maybe it gets like not long enough on a George Foreman grill.
That's a specific kind of
undercooking. We just want them to get food poisoning. We don't want them to get like a parasite. Yeah. Okay.
Light food poisoning.
Yeah. Light food poisoning.
Definitely both ends, but like still pretty light.
Like you ask the waiter for medium rare and they say, yeah, medium there. Rare? Yeah, there.
Medium on the outside, nothing on the inside. All right. Our next case comes from Kieran C., and they write, to the great and wise Murphy, Axford, and Tanner, and the deplorable bailiff.
Wow. It's better to be not mentioned.
Well, Abria, we didn't announce our guest because we didn't want to, you know.
Put you in either camp.
Yeah. If Jake was tactful, he would slip your name in there. But
to the great and
by
wise
we,
Murphy,
I mean Jake Iyengar didn't.
I'll tactfully eliminate Murph. To the great and wise Iyengar, Axford, and Tanner.
Thank you.
And the great and wise bailiff, Jake. Wow.
Wow. That's some editorializing. Oh, that almost kind of throws out what you did for Abria, right?
I'll allow it.
Holy shit. So great.
Gone mad.
I'm so great and wise it occurred to me after the fact to do that.
Several episodes in, actually.
A few years in. This happened a few months ago and still haunts me to this day. I've been running a homebrew game for a while now and thought it would be time to add an interesting encounter. Instead of this encounter being about battle, I thought this encounter could be about a sales pitch to be a part of some sort of pyramid scheme. I had the party throw wisdom saving throws, roleplay some questions, and even had the non-chromancer, basically a necromancer who uses essential oils, use legendary actions.
Yes.
However, in this encounter, instead of the party losing HP, they would lose gold. Five of my six players had a blast trying to navigate around while minimalizing their losses. But one of my players would constantly say, this is not what my character would do when it came to their turn and potentially handing over their gold. This player decided to roll the saving throws anyway and still failed, draining their gold gradually away. Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have auras from me and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up, they are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
From them. This encounter led to a fight, and the aforementioned player left the group and took their partner with them. Losing two players over what I thought was a fun encounter, was I wrong to introduce a dynamic where the players would hand over their gold for failing saving throws? I await your judgment.
Okay. At first, I was totally on board because it sounds really fun to me. And I think that the players should have been able to suspend their sort of character commitment to just roll with it and have some fun. Mm-hmm. But it is true that like gold can get you cool shit, and like losing gold for a failing saving throw, maybe there should have been an option to opt out, right? Mm-hmm. So it is essentially being like, hey, we're gambling. Do you want to gamble?
Oh,
you know,
I like that.
There are some people just love loot. Yeah, they just really are upset. That part of D&D is like what they're all about.
They want the loot. They need the loot.
Gambling. I think at a certain point,
the D&D money does not mean anything to me. Yeah. But I've been at tables before where someone's like, "Oh yeah, I'll like rob their bag of gold," and someone's like, "I'll murder you if you try."
Really?
Yeah. Whoa. It gets heated. It gets very heated.
Yeah. We would have, I mean, at a certain point, people figured out that that's not the kind of players that we are, but we would always get comments when we first started NADPOD of being like, why didn't they loot the corpse of that dude? Why didn't they loot the corpse of this dude? Why didn't they loot the corpse of this dude?
I like an occasional loot.
Yeah,
sure. If I'm in a situation where I'm like, this is a fancy room. What's going on here? Then maybe.
A strategic loot.
A strategic loot. But if you loot everything, that just gets cumbersome. Quite literally.
It's funny because 5 of 6 players had a great time.
Yeah.
Right.
But then 2 left. So, one had to leave when their partner left.
But I'm wondering, it was a gnome chromancer was the name of the...
Nunk?
Non-chromancer.
They wrote non-chromancer. Yeah, N-O-N.
I figured you do unchromancer, like unctuous oils.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not entirely sure.
I'm trying to figure out what that means. But if this was a magic thing, they're essentially charming you into giving over their gold, then it doesn't have anything to do with what your character would do.
Right. Yeah.
As long as it's magical. If you didn't specify magic... And the person kind of has a point.
Yeah.
I mean, not to leave.
But this is also what happens in pyramid schemes, you know? Like, people you don't normally get swept up in them, get swept up in them, and then...
I do think that that's something that, like, having, like, getting swept up in a pyramid scheme being one failed save feels sweaty.
It is. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean,
That'd be more of
imagine any, like... trio of your characters or something, if I was just like, and this next dude comes up and he says, Do you want to hear about my business? Go ahead and roll a saving throw. Hard one. You give 100 gold over to him because you failed. It's kind of weird,
what?
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
You know what maybe you could have done differently is like if someone's clearly not into it, right? You could have found a way for them to participate on the sidelines without putting themselves in the way. Because it is fair. Some people don't want to gamble. And this is essentially gambling. And forcing someone to gamble might suck the fun out for them.
That's true.
Whereas gambling for some is just awesome.
Yeah. I ran a game where like it was like a pageant. And I was like, okay, I know some of the people in the party, like in the party will absolutely not do this.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, go send your like player character away. And here's an NPC that's super bought in.
Oh.
Do you want to come be in this pageant? Like so be someone completely different. Like, I know that you are like an edgelord and you would never send like your little halfling to go do this pageant. But now you're like Norma Rae with big hair. Come get into it with no stakes. So if they don't have a problem with that like mechanized gambling, if they're like, I want to do this, but it's not what my character would do.
Yeah.
Like, okay, just be someone else in the room that's super into this like scheme.
Yeah.
Let them go wild coming up with like the person that would like fall for this the hardest.
That's a good point.
And then let them like play in it in a way where they don't have to be sweaty about their stuff.
Yeah, I like that. Not everyone is sensitive about money, but I think everyone is sensitive about their character.
Yeah.
So if you combine those two things, like you going against someone's character and also stealing their cash.
Yes. Yeah. I think also the idea that it's just one role and if you fail it, you lose money and you also don't want to do that to begin with, that could feel like a pretty tough session.
Yeah. I want to encourage this person because I think they were close. Five out of six people. It's a creative encounter.
Your description
five out of six.
Cool.
Well, that's their whole party now because the other person they're not friends with.
So actually, your whole entire party loved it.
Yeah.
you solved your own problem.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I honestly would be on this player's side, except them leaving is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It seems excessive.
And taking their partner with them.
Yeah.
who had a great time?
Yeah.
I do feel like we're missing something here. They must have tried to like draw a sword or like dismantle the encounter in some way, and like that's what led to like the actual fight, right?
It could have just been bummer session where they're like, I really don't want to do this.
Was it like
the fight was just a you roll and you lose money?
Yeah,
I think it wasn't.
I think there was a fight between the people afterwards.
Right, but what I'm saying is like I feel like that person like wanted to like fight this noncromancer or whatever, and like weren't allowed to, and that's probably what made them frustrated.
Yeah, or they didn't. I mean, again, I do think it's not great encounter design to be like a dude walks up to you, tries to pitch you on a thing, and then you have to roll a save. Like you should have more agency than that.
Yeah.
And maybe it was magical and they just didn't tell us in the thing.
I tell people to be brief.
So maybe.
And we love your brevity. Thank you for your
it was
brevity.
Perfectly
but
brief.
I think you're fine to have done this if it was a charm spell and then they're stealing money and like running away.
Yeah.
But if it's just like you're rolling to see if you would invest in something, that's just kind of
you're accidentally in a sales pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's fun to do really unconventional gameplay like this, but maybe in the future when you do stuff like have alternative situations if someone's not into something less conventional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a weird ruling, which is I'm on your side in real life and their side in D&D.
Whoa.
You seem more fun than the person who grabbed their significant other and left because they lost gold.
Angeled and deviled again.
Yeah.
Ooh.
There we go.
Mm-hmm. I do like, I've never gotten to do this and it seems fun to like get up and leave with your spouse.
Oh my God.
Come on, babe. We're going.
Yeah.
This isn't our table.
Grab the Tostitos.
Tucker did that with me, but it was my spouse.
Okay, so who are we ruling against?
Does anybody have, we're allowed to all vote our own way?
No, I feel like it's cut and dry here.
You know what?
I'm not going to say who for, but it's cut and dry.
I don't think it's cut and dry. I'm worried about this DM that they weren't able to like ameliorate the problem afterwards. How do you have a conversation and they still walk away?
Right.
That's one encounter.
Yeah.
Seems like a bigger problem.
How could that go so badly that they're like, I'm fully I'm fucking gone. Done.
I think I'm going to gently discipline this DM also because I think that it was really fun gameplay, but if someone's clearly not working for someone at the table, like just know that you got to be a little flexible and on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Should we do another snap bracelet maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
We could do a snap anklet.
A snap anklet. Ooh, okay. Yeah. And the cool anklet, of course, says, next time, it so it's a charm spell so the person in character can lose their gold in a way that is still in character.
Yeah. Right.
Does anyone have anything?
And then,
like
off of that, there's like a secondary snap bracelet that kind of like breaks off in a parenthetical, snap bracelet.
It trails behind.
Yeah, there's an asterisk at the end of this, and the asterisk says,
and it says, like, you know, also maybe consider the stakes. Make sure that those are firmly in place as well.
Right. Wow. And then there's like an ellipses, and it says, though maybe this was for the best, it sounds like that was kind of like
It sounds like the rest of your players are all on board and this person is not.
And then there's a couple more ellipses, and then what's for dinner? Wait, whoops, wrong text.
Do not try to walk while wearing this bracelet.
You are wearing a ribbon dancer.
You're fully in a cast now.
Don't you dare go near an escalator. You will get sucked into it.
Why don't we do one more case?
Do we want to do a confessional?
And then a confessional.
Okay, cool.
Cool. Okay. Alex W. writes, may it please the court and also Bailiff Jake, I guess. I bring to you the case of Shrek the Rogue.
Oh,
no. Okay. Shrek
I'm already on the
Shrek
DM side.
Yeah. Yes.
We've done many a case like this one. I'm starting a campaign with my friends, all of us new D&D players. My twin sister is playing in the campaign, and I was helping her design her rogue. So we all see where this is going. We rolled the stats, and she decided she's playing a half-orc. When I talked to her about her background, she decided on hermit. We continued to design the character, not thinking much of the hermit background.
It's always the slow
half-orcs
reveal.
Half-orcs are way hotter than Shrek, by the way.
Yeah, but half-orcs don't have little tube ears.
Obviously, the hottest person.
Those tube ears are like, I hate them.
Emily, all right, imagine that. Sure, you can have that opinion, but like imagine that your partner is a Shrek. And you're like, oh, it's so dark in here, babe, with the electricity's out. And then your Shrek lover pulls two perfect candles out of their ear tubes and lights them.
Does he do that?
That's one of his tricks.
That's one of his tricks.
I do remember that. That's and I hate that I remember
top
that.
Top 10 Shrek trip. Shrek tricks. Fuck.
You just tripped over Shrek trip.
No, you tripped over Shrek trip.
You
tricks.
Stuck it.
I actually think I didn't. I think I said tripped over Shrek trip.
Nobody replied.
Now I'm in the swamp.
Right before we finished, she said, you realize I'm playing Shrek, right? Okay. I asked her please not to, but she insisted the only way that she would play would be as Shrek.
So many
PCs just insisting.
It's so bizarre. Like, you can create anybody you want. Like, and you actually, the perfect character already has been created.
Right. Because you know that they've spent like hours, days on the thread being like, I can play on Tuesday. I'm not actually free Tuesday. Like, it took so much coordination to figure out when they're actually going to play. Yeah. And now this person is holding everyone hostage with Shrek.
Yeah.
Another Shrek trick.
So later I said she could play Shrek, but a barbarian might be a better fit to the Shrek archetype.
You cannot stoop to their level.
Already being too compromising by saying the phrase 100%. Shrek archetype.
She was insistent that she play a rogue. Was I wrong to insist that she shouldn't play Shrek or ask her to change to a barbarian to better fit the Shrek archetype?
I would argue.
I leave Shrek the rogue's fate.
You know what? You're so right. Okay, I've only seen Shrek is Love, Shrek is Life, but he does not. He does not give me rogue vibes.
But you know who does? Fiona.
I've never met Shrek's wife.
Fiona is obviously a bard. She sings and birds come and then explode.
When she's pretending to be a princess. And then it's revealed that she's actually like a cool kung fu ogre lady.
Okay. I'm done.
I feel like bards
do that too, though.
That's true.
Yeah, they have
disguises and whatnot.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Don't let them win.
Yeah.
No. There's a lot of Shrek stands out there applauding Caldwell right now.
And they shouldn't. They absolutely should. It was flimsy.
No,
they
should, because you weren't getting what you needed at the table here. You're dumping Shrek knowledge on us, and it wasn't landing.
This person has gone above and beyond to accommodate Shrek.
Yeah.
If they're going to bring Shrek to the table, they should do Shrek on your terms.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's interesting, though, that like the DM is actually suggesting that they play something truer to Shrek, when actually you almost should be like, oh, yeah, play Shrek the Rogue, because then that's different.
I don't think Shrek is a barbarian. I think Shrek is an inquisitor rogue.
Whoa.
Because he like walked into Duloc and like had to solve a mystery.
Fuck. She's right.
I've only seen the first Shrek.
I've only seen Shrek is Love.
I haven't seen Shrek. I think I saw Shrek.
I don't think a barbarian could handle Lord Farquaad.
Yeah, thank you.
Shrek is Love, Shrek is Life is just a weird YouTube video. Oh.
Yeah, I only saw Shrek on ice. So I
He's definitely a bard. He's an ice skater.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Everyone is.
Yeah. All right, so Bria, you're saying think Shrek might be a robot.
I think Shrek is absolutely real. Like every movie and skating adventure, he's solving some kind of mystery.
That's true.
That's an Inquisitor Rogue.
Whoa. Mm. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know enough about Shrek. Why is Shrek solving mysteries?
Well okay.
Don't all talk at once.
Hold on. How much time do we have?
A bunch of people show up in his swamp and he has to figure out why they're in his swamp. So he goes to Lord Farquaad to be like, get all these fairy tale creatures out of my goddamn house. Mm-hmm. And he has to like solve this mystery. Like he keeps getting sent on other adventures. So I feel like he's like,
that's a good archetype. Is he like a curmudgeon who doesn't want to go on an adventure and then goes on an adventure? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a good archetype.
Yeah.
That's a Dench Lord to me.
Yeah. That's a good Shrek archetype.
Yeah.
A Shrek class.
Han Solo esque. Another rogue.
Yeah. There you go. Don't make this about Star Wars, man. We're talking about Shrek.
Saying Han Solo is like Shrek, okay?
It's probably the coolest thing Murph could say to you about Shrek. Man.
Okay, but fundamentally, I think we do need to punish the player, though. The player needs to have more flexibility.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think as a PC, I like to know what my DM wants and do what they want, and I've never once insisted.
To the point where this DM went back was like, all right, I have an idea for we'll your figure Shrek it character. Out. Yeah. And the twin is like, no, I know Shrek.
I think the twin was press ganged in service and is like, I'm only going to do this thing if you let me, like, to me, this feels like a little kid, like you have to give them their little thing to get them bought in enough to like play in your world.
Yeah.
And if they're already experiencing that pushback, I think they think you're not going to let them be free during the game.
Mm. Yeah.
So you concede on this. Yeah. And spend that goodwill getting them to be fucking normal in the game.
Then I think you do that like Murph thing where you just like narrate the scene. Everyone has a cool character. They're in a cool place.
Yeah.
Like, and Shrek is there.
And Shrek is there. And he looks like Shrek. Right. You know Shrek the movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's really funny, right? Say something funny.
Oh, donkey.
Silence. Well, let's all let Jake do a Shrek impression deadly serious. Okay.
Great.
Okay. I don't fucking know what he's.
All right, Shrek, it's your turn.
What should we do then, donkey?
Okay.
Unplayable.
You didn't take your turn yet.
Okay.
Unplayable.
Your donkey doesn't talk to you because he's just a regular ass fucking donkey.
Oh, now
what do you do? What do you do, Shrek? Do you cast speak to animals? No, you're a rogue. Mm. Go on.
I remove a candle wax from me ear.
Go ahead and roll a dexterity saving throw.
That's a 4.
Okay, you're badly burned by the candle.
That's a 4, matey.
It's a pirate.
The character growth is selling me on this character.
Maybe that's the move, is to dryly narrate Shrek. Make them play Shrek. It's just like a bully. You're talking to a donkey and you look like a moron. You look like an absolute moron.
The villagers put you in jail.
Yeah.
You have disadvantage on all diplomacy checks with everyone here.
This could work. I think if you give them that tough love, they will make the Shrek their own eventually.
Yeah. I also think, hey man, maybe down the line there's a beautiful scene of Shrek coming to terms with like their childhood or something.
You
can get
please?
There. A lot of people start silly characters and then accidentally invest. Accidentally invest. I know that's in there.
In
there.
That was a good reference.
I would love to hear the pivotal moment from Shrek.
Yeah.
I finally know who I am, lass.
Who are you?
What's happening?
What do you think then, donkey?
The donkey makes a little sound. It's just
I'm going to go ahead and roll my second death save.
Yeah. I think you know you can do a good Shrek.
I know, and I'm not going to do it.
Because if he does it, you'll stop doing it, problem. And you need to be our resident.
I need to be able to parrot something.
Yeah, I don't think this person has the twin. has a Shrek. I don't think they have an actual Shrek impression.
Yeah, they're going to end
they
up
can't
having
walk
I think
the walk.
Let them, yeah.
So do we punish anyone in this situation? Because I think I'm on the DM side, but, you know, I also think if you want your twin to play, then I think that...
Yeah, the punishment is rolled out by the DM themselves by making their twin play Shrek.
And then the twin is punishing them. Yeah. Okay.
Just treat Shrek like he's... Don't laugh.
Yeah.
Just anytime they do something, be like, okay, that's a little bit of a silly thing to do. You see the bartender looks mad and offended that you said that to them. What do you mean a gingerbread man? There's no gingerbread people here.
Just hoist them by their own Shrek.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
So you want to make a Shrek build now.
Yeah.
The wheels are turning.
Do you think you'd take any feats for Shrek?
Oh, man. I think you got to make it. Now I don't want it to be an inquisitor. No. We got to multi-class.
Okay.
I think we need some creation bard in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So we can start animating items constantly. So you have all of the
gingerbread man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Pinocchio's up in there.
Suck my butt. There is a gingerbread man. He's here and he's dancing and can attack from me.
Incredible.
So Merv is coming up with the dry DM and Abria's like, no, I can make.
Yeah, I can do this.
I can do this.
I can't do the voice. I never have. I never will. But I will play. I will play the craziest
no one does it like me.
Dead to right Shrek that absolutely whoops ass. Fuck. Yeah.
Thank you, Shrek. You saved us all.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry about your donkey.
And I'm fucking Lord Farquaad.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say challenge her to play a good Shrek.
Yeah.
Wow. I love that.
If it's not a Bria, I bet you won't be able to do it.
Yeah. Jokes on you. It is me. I sent that in.
Oh, I didn't know you had a twin.
I ate mine in the womb.
Classic Shrek.
So let's end on a Dice Cries confessional. Oh, let's get the angel egg singing. That's a callback familiar today, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. No, we talked about that 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
What are you talking
Shrek
about?
All the Shrek talk.
Angel egg.
Okay.
Shrek.
From B, we've got a modified dice dilemma. Forgive me, justices, for I may have sinned. I know there is no separation of church and state in this court, so I lay before you a potential transgression. I am conflicted regarding a BBEG I've designed for a homebrew campaign that takes place in a magical New York City in the 1920s. Ooh. The ultimate villain is a mastermind halfling gangster by the name of Lucky LaFlora, who has trapped the god of luck in a gem and constantly siphons their power. In addition to several other feats and abilities, I had originally decided to represent this aspect of godlike luck by making all of his rolls with a modified d20. It is not weighted, but it does not contain a 1 or a 2, and instead has 2 19s and 2 20s on it.
Whoa!
However, my conscience is beginning to eat at me as my players draw closer to the final battle. So this is someone maybe almost going into the confessional being like, I'm thinking of doing this.
My blessing.
This sounds rad.
Yeah.
I love this.
I want to take this.
Yeah.
Give me your hand.
That I choose, I'm just like, this is just a sick
this
world.
Is just sick.
Yeah.
It's just dope.
This is just sick.
The crossroads of like the meta and the fiction all coming together, and then you get to like pull that
and
dice out from behind the screen.
It's not even that broken. No. It's a little, I mean, it's better than rolling with advantage, but it's like, this is your BBEG.
I also love the idea that like, if you defeat them, I think you give the players that.
That like blessing.
Yes.
There you go. That's how nobody will be mad. Because
exactly.
It could be
right?
They want that thing. Too.
Yeah.
And they get like one roll a session where you're like, the god of luck thanks you for saving them.
Yeah.
Roll it with the good guy.
Mm. Oh my God. That's such a good. Okay. So I think we're saying to you, not only are you like, you don't have anything to confess, also because you haven't done anything, but if you do it, you have nothing to confess. And also, that's a great suggestion.
Dice Christ has cast down judgment and it's sick.
Yeah.
So sick.
The Lord saith, that's rad as dick.
And with that, we will wrap up this episode of Dungeon Court. You can head on over to our Patreon to listen to some bonus cases. We'll That's have right. Bria over there Woo! As well.
Ooh, yeah.
You can check that out over on patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Don't sing.
Wee. Yeah.
Don't do it. Okay. Please don't do it.
Fine.
Don't do it, Caldwell. Bria, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Oh, God. Yeah, you can catch me on social media at Quiddy, Quiddie. And you can catch me on Clock over on Hyper RPG on Monday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific. And on Wednesdays for Legends of the Multiverse on D&D's Twitch channel. Ooh. At a time I don't remember.
Google it.
But it's on your socials.
Google it.
It's on your socials.
I won't tweet about it. I'll forget.
Does anybody else have anything they'd like to plug?
Live shows.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Live
shows. We got a bunch.
Yes.
Got a whole bunch. We have live shows in Dublin, Ireland on May 11th. Woo! London on May 12th. Manchester, May 13th. And Edinburgh on May 14th. Tickets still available at nadpod.com/live.
Jake, do you promise to do your... Actually, I don't know where Shrek is from. Is Shrek from Ireland
he's
or...
From,
he's from Scotland, Scottish, right?
Do you promise to do your Shrek at
Edinburgh? I imagine that everybody will be clamoring for it in Edinburgh. So I'll whip out my...
It will happen now. You know it will happen now. Yeah. It's going to happen. Fully. Yeah.
Oh, no.
You're going to do Glaswegian.
Can I ask for fans, please, like, get a clip of it and tweet me. I want to watch the live Shrek accent.
Yeah.
Give it to me, please.
You want
to
show us the Shrek pelted with tomatoes in Scotland.
Sweet. You can follow us on social media. There are Merry Man I use at TH Murph is me, at Extra Demily, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Jake Hurwitz is Jake, yep. And Abria, remind me of your socials.
At Quiddy.
And at Quiddy is Abria. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of a nation. We are the youth of a nation.
Dungeon. It's the end of the show, and you know what that means? We simply must shout out our benevolent Council of Elders. I'm talking about Brad D., Jeffrey S., Hugh C., Later McSkater, Matt M., Jordan DJ, Cutter W., Jill and Tucker, who want to help Jake move out, Dungeon Mama, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Scott D., Danny P., Michael McD., Vincent W., Mr. Cole, Victor T., Balnor's Boy Forever, Dominic P., Andrew B., Justin I., Ragnar Fairwind, TJ M., Elena M., Trele the Crayfay, Jared E., Christopher B., Damiel R., Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Philbert the Therapy Duck, Richard X Machina, Michael L., Taylor S., Sir Carl, Jory S., Callum L., Jack L., Sam L., Nicholas C., Thaddeus the Thunderous Turtle, Samuel B., Mike H., Martin P., Matthew E., Colton B., the front half of a horse costume, Adam G., Tyler F., the Badger, Panama James, Andrew the Bard, Captain Sigil, Diana, CC Lulu, Michelle O., Hercule Poirot, the rabbit folk detective, Timmy R., Crocaholic, Lucas B., Reiko, it's Kevin, Calder's Cold, come, hashtag can't stop me, New York, Cass Skateboard Cass, Stephen C., Michael M., Mike K., Lady Taco, Joy T., Nara, Jake L., Nick W., Brave the Badger, Esme M., Mutton, the Mad Druid, has been trying to undo his friend who has been stuck as a polymorphed sheep for 3 weeks, Foster, the original boneless duck, Aaron the Asshole Ranger, Big Beardo the Mad, Eric McD, Giant Monsters on the Horizon, Burly T, Percival Frederick Stein von Musel Klausowski de Rolo III, Christian A, Olivia K, J Dragonborn, Joro the Inapropro, Liam D, the Sandrayan, Ben A, Feldonis, John III, Dave H., Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S., David K., Christian S., Rebecca G., Dustin S., Connor F., Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant Izzy F., The Time Walker, Blair the Blair Barbarian, Cat C., Kelsey J., Porkchop, Ariel the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N., Velociraptor, Manette the Magnificent Magikarp, Pat L., Achutha A., Lauren H., Amber W., Joshua D., Ryan S., The Bone Duster, The Charming Fluff, Robert Crisp, M.E. Johnson, Master Brentley, Telekitty Creations, the official Nadpod, and my personal favorite illustrator, Ploops, Carly Ann, Addie K., Lori P., Hashtag End Calder's Cold Come, Hashtag Rise Again the Snowy Spunk, Spam Gaming, the Submarine Sailor Who Saw the Eagle, ooh, Grant L., Connor Savage, Christopher J. Pebblepot, I see you guys in London and Dublin, first round's on me, Ryan Urfey should make an appearance, well, we'll see you there, Christopher J. Pebblepot, Logan S., Leviathan, BioQuart 7, Remington CD, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H., Trub Hopdropper, Sydney T., Jack H., King of the Mole City Under Iron Deep, Anamin Doris, Dragon Purake, Lord of Moonspawn and Knight of High House Dark, Garble the Moist, Juicy Kiwi, the juiciest juicy rat, Murph, please bring back the juicy rat, sincerely the juiciest kiwi rat of all, Champ Wild, Valen, Sprite Pepsi, Carlin C, Louis is your centaur dad, Armadon the only, Emily S, Harry C, Noah the bagel of all things, Estelle, Loyla Theodger, Conflicted DM, Justin L, Tori Lee Skirmisher, Dandy, Ian W, Bunny, Hashtag Claudius did nothing wrong, Hashtag Frog Pal sucks, Marcos P, Pup Kalish, Learns the Balanced Druid, Dakota James P, Frida M, Pagos, the self-proclaimed Fae Prince, Katrin, the Great One, the Statistics Patron, Tracy P, the Greek Elf Librarian, Friar Frizzit, Andy E, Holly Hyena, Anthony A, Kristen Z, Leah C, Paige H, Ryan Urfey fully supports Calder's Cold Come, Hashtag CCC for life, Kristen with a K, Cal, just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N, Russell H, a monk named Dilgo, yes, the whole thing every time, Neos, the novice monster hunter, my new friend Simon, who I met last night in Dreamland. He was a little sad at first. He seemed to think we'd met before. Lorelei Frost. Morgan M. A peeling sticker. Ooh, an update. Stephen E. Mr. Adams. Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia. James F. Jimmy A. Hi, man. Hi, man. Yes, that's me. Cap'n Cappy. M4L. The Dragon Ambassador. Wayfarer, inventor of the SS Storm Bjorn. Andrew B. Dalton B. Cope Fresh. Barpo Good Barrel, Barbarian, and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep. Tari rhymes with Jabari. Welshlander. Garrett G. One Big Curd. Eric M. Mr. D. Tommy K. Nola. John P. Mr. Sillyhead. Monster Captain Renee S. Cameron C. Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope. Daniel V. H. Olivia, the enchanting bard who will totally be making money off the Duck Team Tales with an on-the-go all-stops show. Blue Slade. Michaela R. Albin's Alabaster Aftermath. Hashtag worth it. Solemn's Sticky Sauce. Hashtag CCC Double Down. Calliope's Cumulo Cumblast. Hashtag CCC Forever. Riley S. Sirsig 93. Fico. Melvin the Moonton. And finally, Angry Wheat. The angriest of the grains. What a one to end on. And that's it. Thank you all. We love you so much. Goodbye, sweeties. Mwah.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.